Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking today to the Dirt Doctor. Today it's the Intelligent Medicine Doctor versus the Dirt Doctor. We share the distinction of doing our own radio programs. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, is host of the Dirt Doctor radio show. It's heard on over 200 radio stations weekly, and he's an expert on organic gardening and healthy living. And a proponent of, shall we call, reforestation, not just of the soil, but also of the gut. And as we discussed in part one, there is a relationship between what we're doing to devastate our soil and what we do to devastate our gastrointestinal tracts. When we use products like glyphosate enters our gastrointestinal tracts, and it may suppress the growth of beneficial microorganisms, just as it does in the soil. Interesting connection. I never quite thought of it that way. So, Howard, I have a question for you. You do is it a weekly radio program, or do you do it more often?
Yes, I have a weekly live call-in talk show, 3 hours on Sunday, and we do a commentary that runs during the week. We're in about 200 markets. Some of them are cable markets, not regular radio shows. So we're kind of here and there across the country.
On the Salem Broadcasting Network, right?
Salem and some other outlets as well.
So I have a question for you. You know, I get questions. People ask me, you know, what do you think of this blood test? And, you know, I have this ailment, and what supplement shall I take? And what do you think of this new injection therapy of the knee? Those are the typical questions I get. What kind of questions do you get? I mean, how do you occupy an entire program with the subject of organic gardening? I'm sure there's a lot of themes, but you know, give us a typical Q&A exchange.
Well, I'm kind of a big tree guy. I'm an arborist in addition to a landscape consultant. I practice landscape architecture for many years, so we talk about everything from design to drainage problems to fixing various illnesses in trees. I'm a huge proponent of planting trees the right way. Most of the trees planted around the country and around the world are planted too deeply in the ground.
Hmm.
Part of the trunk, which is called the flare, is buried, and that leads to so many problems. So I try to teach people about that. I teach people how to compost properly. I teach people how to control all kinds of insects and diseases. So it's a little bit of everything across the board.
Well, okay, so let's talk composting. I mean, that's not only something that's going to help your plants, but it's great for the environment because, you know, taking all those food scraps and putting them into, a garbage truck on a landfill, that's not great either. So you can actually do your own recycling at home and enhance the vibrancy of your crops.
You really can. One of the things that I try to encourage people around the country to listen to is to try to get their cities to make it illegal to put grass clippings in bags and tree trimmings in bags and send them to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are such valuable resources that should be left on the property, if nothing else, just in a pile to break down into beautiful compost. You know, when you see tree care companies working on properties, whether it's residential property or they're doing line clearing on a commercial basis, and you see the big piles of shredded material from the limbs that they've trimmed away.
Right, the chippers and that thing. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite products and tools of all that I ever talk about. You can leave that chipped up material in a pile for not even a year, 9 months or so, and it will turn into the most beautiful compost you've ever seen without you even having to do any management. But I also recommend it as a top dressing mulch on bare soil around plants. And if you do turn it and speed up the process, you can have finished compost even quicker. Another thing I try to teach people that a lot of other compost advisors don't agree with me on is that I think that everything that is alive is going to die, obviously, and everything that dies is going to rot and become compost. And so I recommend that for homeowners and business people too, for anything that was once alive, including fats and material from the kitchen, that, you know, food preparation, dead animals, carcasses of animals. I think that all of that is very valuable to be part of the composting process, just like nature. In nature, you know, everything, animals and plants, rots and become compost and food for the soil.
So you believe in mixing food wastes with grass clippings and other things that you're trying to compost?
We do it all the time. You have to be a little careful to have fresh food out there and attracting wild animals. What we do there in our home, and I recommend this to other people, is we put the food waste in all of it into metal buckets or plastic buckets and let it break down first in containers before it goes into the bigger compost piles outside. If you do that, you don't have that risk of attracting raccoons and possums and other varmints.
We have bears in New Jersey. We actually have bears.
Right.
And they were recently talking.
What you want to do is you want to break it down far enough in a container before it goes outside, bury it deep enough in the compost pile so it won't attract the various critters.
Okay.
And it won't if you just do that simple technique.
Do you believe they have these probiotics for compost heaps, that like jump starters? Are those are those valuable, or is it just kind of a gimmick?
I think that they are. Dr. O'Hara's people were even looking, still are, I think, looking at some horticultural probiotic products, and hopefully they'll be on the market at some point in Japan. I think they're already using some of those things.
Wow.
But all of the organic fertilizers and amendments that we recommend and use have that probiotic stimulation. There's a liquid formula that we have kind of invented working with our listeners and readers, and it ended up getting named Garrett Juice. What it is a mixture of compost tea, natural apple cider vinegar, molasses, and liquid seaweed. And it is a wonderful organic fertilizer. It's a great foliar feed. It stimulates the setting of buds and flowers and fruits and vegetables, as well as anything that I've ever run into. We give the formula away to anybody that wants to make it. It's on my website, dirtdoctor.com, and it's in all my books and everything. There are some commercial products. We've allowed the name to be used on some commercial products, but anytime we come up with something like the Garrett Juice formula or the tree trunk goop that's for wounded woody tissue and woody plants, we always make that formula available to people so they don't have to buy the commercial products if they don't want to.
And a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, I want to know more about this. Do you have a website where you impart some of this information?
DirtDoctor.com is our website, and it's full of all of the formulas that I recommend, the basic programs that I recommend, and it has a library in it where everything is in alphabetical order, so you can look up a plant or an insect or a disease or whatever you want to get some information about there.
That's great. But I have more questions. You know, recently I saw an article, and by the way, I think it's on the Drudge Report today, and it has to do with the health benefits of gardening for people. People who suffer conditions like migraines, people who suffer from depression, people who suffer from any number of physical ailments. You know, maybe they're a little older, maybe they can't do triathlons like I'm doing, you know, swim, bike, run. But they can get in the garden, and A, they're getting off the internet, you know, which people compulsively watch, you know, bend over and peer into a tiny screen inside and, you know, don't get any oxygen or sunlight. They get outside, they socialize, and there's something about gardening that generates endorphins, which are like healing substances that make you feel good and reduce inflammation.
I believe that. I think that gardening is a wonderful activity. It's about all that I do other than play golf and do some kind of soft yoga. So maybe that's why I'm staying pretty healthy.
Indeed. So, I mean, so there's some benefits other than what you get when you consume the food, free of some bad stuff. But also, now you've looked at the evidence, and there's some controversy about this. Some people say, hey, look, you know, organic, it's much more expensive, and, you know, they claim the chemicals aren't that toxic. And by the way, the nutrition is the same, you know, whether it's an organic strawberry or whether it's a commercial strawberry. But I've seen studies that suggest that you get a higher percentage or higher concentration of nutrients in organic produce. What's your take on that?
Well, you absolutely do, and the taste is better. People that really look into that, and there are some universities that have done that, the level of trace minerals and taste is always better. We had a specific research project that went on here in Hamilton, Texas, down south of where I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and Dr. Joe Bradford was in charge of it. He had become a friend of mine and had gotten interested in organics and had done some testing down in the valley when he was with the USDA. But he set up some trials in a pecan orchard with an owner who agreed to do it, and they used organic inputs, fertilizers, and amendments of different mixes around different trees all through, and the project went on for about 3 to 5 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come up with what was the absolute best organic program because some of them worked very similarly well. But everybody that was in the project got to taste the pecans, agreed 100% that the taste of the pecans in the organic production, they also did synthetic trials, you know, side by side in this research, but they all agreed 100% that the organic pecans tasted far better. The reason is that when you grow a pecan tree with organic techniques, it will have a higher level of oil in the pecans and more trace minerals and better quality. And that's where the taste comes from.
Are you familiar, Howard, with the term phytoalexin? Which is,
I'm not.
Okay, so this is a kind of interesting concept because they say that when plants are challenged by temperature or by insects or by an invader, whether it's fungus or blight, that they produce a higher percentage of compounds which ultimately are beneficial. In other words, these are defense compounds made by plants in a more natural environment. Now, if you coddle plants and you apply all kinds of pesticides and you keep the conditions like totally modulated, like in a hydroponic garden, the plant will never be challenged. This is actually a concept known to vintners. They know that resveratrol, which is responsible for the nutrition but also the flavor of wine, is enhanced when you expose the vines to slightly more stress. So, you know,
sure,
probably.
I'm familiar with the concept, but I just didn't know that term, and I totally agree with that. I think that's why you have such a better taste in a lot of cases with the organic products. One of the things that comes out of the organic program, too, is that we save about 40 to 50% on the water bill. We don't water as much, and I teach people when they irrigate. We have an online school now, and I teach in it that when you water, I can't tell you how often to water, but I can tell you that when you water plants, whether it's landscaping or food crops, water heavily, deeply, and then go as long as you possibly can before you water again and do just exactly what you're suggesting. Let the plants start to even feel that they're getting into a little stress.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, great. Okay, so a big concern here, and, you know, you're maybe in Texas, and this concern hasn't really reached you yet, but it may eventually, is Zika virus. But also, in previous years, we've had concerns about other mosquito-borne illnesses, West Nile, and the like. And are there some techniques, you know, you say water the garden very liberally. Okay, great. You create puddles. There's a perfect breeding ground for mosquitoes. How do you make sure that your organic garden isn't a perfect, breeding ground for mosquitoes?
Well, we have a mosquito program that we recommend that's different. I don't agree with spraying toxic chemicals from trucks, and I sure don't agree with spraying them from airplanes because I think it's it hurts beneficial insects and people and animals and doesn't control the insects at all. A lot of the spray sticks to the tree leaves and doesn't even get down to the source of the problem. What we recommend, we've gotten to the point where we understand how adaptable mosquitoes are. They can change their metabolism. They can change their life cycle. They can become, where they're not affected by certain chemicals. They can get used to them.
Resistance. Yeah.
Resistance builds up. So what we have come up with is a program of spraying, but spraying something different each time, and it's non-toxic. And the only one that kills at all is the first one that we recommend, and that's liquid BTI, which is a bacillus.
Thuringiensis or something like that. Thuringiensis. You know how to pronounce it. Yeah. BT. Yeah.
Yeah. It just ask for BTI when you go into the stores, and it's for sale everywhere. It's been around as mosquito dunks and mosquito granules for a long time. People have recommended throwing it in standing water to kill the larvae as they try to turn into adults. And I still recommend that too. It's a great tool for it, but I recommend now spraying the BTI on the whole site. And there's a professor at Rutgers University, I can't remember her name exactly, but she's done research on this, and she likes this idea too, and has even done entire low-income communities with these techniques and has great data showing how it works. But what we find is important is that you do that one time, and then the next time you spray a repellent, something like garlic, liquid garlic. The next time, something like liquid cedar. So you're continuing to change from something that kills them to something that repels them and keeping them out of balance, not able to adjust to what you're doing. The other thing that I recommend that we stumbled into is that I keep some stagnant water in containers back by my dog run in my utility area on purpose all the time. And I put little pieces of this BTI, this bacillus, in once every week. I'm actually using it as an attractive trap for the mosquitoes to come in and lay their eggs, and the larvae actually farm to a degree, but then they die away and never turn into adults. So we're tricking them.
Uh-huh. So totally destroying the environment. Some concerns that we have is, great, we may be reducing the small risk of contracting Zika, which is a real but relatively rare problem, by spraying entire communities with pesticides that we know can be toxic, we talk about things harmful in pregnancy. Pesticides can be devastating to expectant moms, and that's 100% certainty versus Zika, which is rare.
We've had a real problem here with the pollinators being killed off, and the people in the beekeeping business, are just beside themselves about this whole thing. I was playing golf the other day, and the golf course where I play all the time, that can't get them to listen to, even considering this organic approach. There were dead honeybees all over the golf course. So it affects when you start killing off something, harem scarum like that. You don't know where it all leads to, but you can bet pretty safely that it's not going to be a good thing that you've set in motion. So we try to just work within nature's laws and systems, and a lot of times you come up with much better controls. We have very few insect and disease problems that we even have to deal with on our organic projects.
Well, Howard, are you, in sum, are you encouraged by the movement of many Americans towards organic products, or do you think we'll always remain a vocal minority?
Direction coming our way, but we're still in the minority, and we're in the minority because none of the universities teach what I'm telling you about here. That's the reason we set up the Natural Organic Certification course online, and it's 15 chapters. You go through it and take a chapter at a time and then have to pass a test after each chapter. But other than Washington State University and Rutgers to a degree, none of the major universities out there are into what we're talking about.
So we gotta be some change makers on that front. You certainly are leading the charge. Your radio program, The Dirt Doctor, can be accessed via your website, which is thedirtdoctor.com, correct?
Right. That's the best way to go there.
And also lots more information there. And also let's give a shout-out to our mutual sponsor, which is Dr. Ahira's Probiotics, also with a new series of RegActive products that manufacture glutathione in your gastrointestinal tract. We're concerned about the viability of the soil, the diversity of the microbiome within the soil, as well as in the human body, because that makes sense for our overall health.
It's parallel with what we talk about outside with the soil and with the plants. And yes, I'm a huge fan of Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and the RegActive. I take both every day. My wife has become a real believer because when she started taking the probiotics a few years ago, she lost 20 pounds in a pretty short period of time, and she was even worried about it. She thought maybe she had something wrong with her.
Yeah.
She went to the doctor, finally realized that in taking the probiotics, she eats less food. She eats smaller portions and is not nearly as hungry. She's introduced that idea to a lot of her girlfriends, and several of our friends now are seeing the benefits.
Well, you know, it may sound, you know, fantastic, but there really is some truth to this, because we know that the composition of the bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract influences metabolism, creates or reduces the potential for insulin resistance, which drives obesity. You know, so there's a lot of studies that suggest that if we can favorably alter the balance of bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract, that's the recipe to appetite control and weight loss. I mean, it's fascinating. And, you know, maybe in future we'll have very targeted probiotics that'll be like the magic, you know, the holy grail for weight loss. But in the meantime, let's make use of, you know, the fine resources that we have. It's good stuff. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Howard Garrett is the Dirt Doctor. You can get more information at thedirtdoctor.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Telligent Medicine.